This sermon is available for free download from www.graceunlimited.co.za. That's www.graceunlimited.co.za. There you will also find many other sermons, the speakers' blogs, events, pictures, links, web store, e-documents, and contact details. Simply follow the links to Grace Unlimited on Sermon Audio.
Well, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, it's a real privilege to be able to look at God's Word together. So we have been working our way through Ephesians, and we're really close to the end now. We're going to be looking today at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. If I were to ask you to take a piece of paper and to write down, perhaps on that piece of paper, the one area of the Christian life that you struggle the most with. If you were to write down one area of the Christian life that you really wanted to grow in, that you were serious this year about trying to improve in, I wonder what you would write on that piece of paper. I wouldn't be surprised if for many of you, what you wrote on that piece of paper, or what you would write on that piece of paper, is prayer. I find that many Christians, it's not unusual to talk to Christians who know the importance of prayer, but who really struggle to pray and struggle with prayer. If you, when you think about what you want to grow in, if you think about prayer, that is it's good. Because there's really hardly anything more important in the Christian life, living for Christ, than praying. It really would be difficult for me to overemphasize, to find a way to overemphasize the importance of prayer. For example, here in Ephesians chapter 6, you know that we have been working our way through the armor of God. This is a section on spiritual war, and Paul is preparing us to fight this spiritual battle. And we've spent weeks now talking about the different pieces of armor. It's amazing to me that I thought this was going to be one message, but it's ended up being maybe 3 or 4 months worth of messages. And you thought, how could we spend more time on these different pieces of armor? We've spent a lot of time on the different pieces of armor, but when you look down at this text, it's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul spends the most time talking about prayer. We've spent a lot of time talking about breastplate of righteousness or sword of the Spirit, but Paul, he spends the most time in this passage talking about prayer. There's not one piece of armor that he spends nearly as much time describing as he does prayer. In fact, this command to pray in verses 18 through 20 is really an overarching kind of instruction. And what I mean is, it's not additional. It's not like Paul is working his way through these pieces of armor and saying, put on the breastplate, put on the sword of the Spirit, and also, in addition to these things, put on prayer. Instead, prayer really is linked to every single piece of armor. It's put on the breastplate of righteousness while praying. Put on the sword of the Spirit while praying. And I think it's kind of funny, really, reading the way Paul writes this verse. Look at verses 18 through 20. It's almost as if he's really concerned we don't miss the point. Because he keeps repeating himself over and over and over and over again. I mean, just listen as we read through these verses, how many times he talks about prayer and how often he uses the word all. Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is wrapping up this whole section on how to stand, how to be victorious. And the Christian war, how to be strong in the Lord. And this is his final word. We as Christians stand by praying all the time. By praying without ceasing. And by we stand by keeping alert with all perseverance. In other words, we stand by praying and we stand by working really hard at praying. When I was reading through this passage this week for the first time, it really struck me the importance of prayer. I'm actually sort of overwhelmed with the importance of prayer. If you ask Paul, how do Christians stand? He would have said, Christians stand on their knees. Christians stand on their knees. That's the point of these verses. The church is a kneeling army. Paul's using warfare language. And if you want to picture this great army at its strongest, you might imagine pictures of great armies at their best. Well, if you wanted to picture the Christian army at its strongest, the picture would be of the church on its knees. The church and we as Christians stand on our knees. And because prayer is so important for us as individuals and as a church, and really probably because for most of us prayer is such a struggle, I find it very encouraging that in this passage, Paul doesn't simply tell us to pray. He also teaches us how to pray. Paul not only commands us to be people who pray, he gives us, and we're going to see this today, three vital lessons on prayer. I want us to be motivated to pray. And I really want us to learn better how to pray by looking together today at three lessons Paul teaches us in this passage on prayer. First of all, the first lesson Paul teaches us is what to pray. The first lesson he teaches us is what to pray. Look at verse 18. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. And then he goes on to say, making supplication. Now, literally, if you were going to look at this verse in the original, you remember the Bible wasn't written in English or German. It was written in Greek. And when you look at this passage in the original, the words are actually put in a little different order for emphasis. So if you wanted to read this in the original, it would literally say, with all prayer and supplication, praying. So this is the beginning. This is how we pray. With all prayer and supplication, we are to pray. Now, I looked at these terms this week, prayer and supplication, and I tried to work hard at seeing the difference. What is the difference between prayer and supplication? But really, there's not much of a difference. I think Paul is using these two terms here simply to intensify how important it is we make requests. Because that's really what prayer and supplication mean. Prayer, the word here, it could be a general word for prayer, but more often than not, it's used actually to describe making a request of God. And supplication, of course, is when we are in an urgent need and we are begging, pleading for something. So while there are all different kinds of prayers we're supposed to pray, as we look through the Bible, there's adoration, there's confession, there's thanksgiving. Here in this passage, when Paul talks about what to pray, he tells us that we should be making requests of God. And he tells us that twice. We should be a people who are asking God for help. This is actually called petitionary prayer. It's very important that we learn to ask God specifically for what we need. This is something the New Testament teaches us all throughout, and it's Paul's first lesson on prayer. And I think the fact that God has designed the Christian life to be lived out this way teaches us something very important about the way God views spiritual strength. God wants us to ask for help. God wants us to ask for help. Where I come from, strong people don't ask for help. It's actually I don't know if it's true culturally in Africa. It is certainly true culturally in America. It's a sign of weakness to admit that you don't know something. And it's a sign of weakness in my culture to ever ask someone else for help. We think of a strong person as someone who doesn't need help. We actually have a word for it, which the person who is self-reliant, the person who's able to, we would say in America, pull himself up by his own bootstraps, whatever that means. But this is not the way that Paul pictures spiritual strength at all. The spiritually strong church, the spiritually strong individual is completely reliant. Spiritually strong people ask God for help a lot. And really that makes sense actually if you think about the gospel. This picture of the Christian life where we're constantly going to God and asking Him specifically for help really matches up with the gospel. Because how did we become Christians? We became Christians by recognizing our own need and realizing that we actually have nothing that we can do to solve our problems. We recognize our own helplessness. And so, in becoming Christians, we went to God and we asked Him to do for us what we could not do ourselves. And the Apostle Paul is saying, that is not just an attitude for the beginning of the Christian life. That is actually how Christians live out their life. We're constantly going back to God and we're constantly relying on Him to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. We don't move past that. The way we began the Christian life is the way we live out the Christian life. Now, isn't that interesting? It shows us God's grace, doesn't it? Because sometimes when we help people, we want them to get to the point where they don't ask us for help again. Isn't that true? When you go to help someone who's in need, part of the goal, very often when you help someone, is that they'll get to the point where they don't ever ask you for help again. But God's not like that. God doesn't save you so that you'll get to the point where you don't need Him anymore. He's designed the Christian life to be lived out in a spirit, an attitude of complete reliance. And we should know this not just from Paul, but we should know this actually from Jesus. Jesus said some very surprising things about the Christian life. One of the surprising things that Jesus said about the Christian life is that we as believers need to be like children. In fact, if you might just mark this down and look it up on your own, there's a passage in Matthew 18 and verse 3 where the disciples are arguing like they always did about who was the greatest. And so Jesus, what He does is He picks up a little child. Sophia, I could maybe pick you up, huh? And He picks up the little child and He puts the child in the middle of the disciples. And He says this, "Whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now that is surprising because in the Jewish culture they had sort of the attitude towards children that many in the African culture have, which is they're to be seen but not heard, they're to be kept away. Definitely a child was not a sign of someone who was important. And Jesus says actually in the Christian life God has turned everything upside down, and if you want to know what a great person looks like, it's someone who's humble like this child. Now that's such a funny picture of greatness, isn't it? If someone said to you, "I want you to know what it looks like to be great, Sophia. This is a picture of greatness." Maybe you would scratch your head and say, "How is that a picture of power? This little girl, she can maybe just pick up a small little box. That's not much a picture of power, is it? How is that a picture of greatness?" Well, what are children good at? I'll tell you what children are good at. They're good at being helpless. Children are good at being dependent. We had this Together for Adoption conference recently, and there was a preacher there whose name was Daniel Bennett. And he was talking about children, and he said his own children, when he is struggling financially, he's never had one of his five-year-olds come up to him and say, "Dad," pick out his wallet, "Dad, how much do you need?" But children don't do that. Children are happy, though, to come and say, "Hey, Dad, I need. Children are good at asking. If you've ever spent time with children, you know they're amazing at asking for anything and everything. And especially when they're little girls, they think their daddies can do everything. "Daddy, can you pick up that building and move it? Daddy, can you take me to Disneyland?" Children are great at asking. Think about what children ask for. Children ask for everything and anything. If they see a commercial about Disneyland, they want to go there tomorrow. How do little children ask? They ask repeatedly, over and over and over and over again. Just this morning, Marta was listening to Bailey, I think, ask 16 times if she could eat a cookie. They wear us out. And sometimes we give in just to shut them up. Okay, have the cookie, please. How do little children ask? Usually without trickery. They just say what's on their mind. They have no awareness of what is appropriate or inappropriate. When it comes to prayer, we need to watch little children as a church if we want to learn how to pray. Strong Christians, strong churches are like children in this. They recognize their absolute dependence on God, and as a result, they come to God asking a lot. Now, for many of us, this is very difficult. This really shouldn't be hard. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication, it really shouldn't be hard to go to God asking for help. But for many of us, we rarely ask God for help. And we rarely ask God for help specifically. I want you just to take a moment and think about your prayer life this last week. Were there times when you asked God specifically for help? Not just generally, God, help me make it through this day. But God, I don't know what to do in this situation. God, I don't know how to handle my husband. God, I don't know what to say to this person. God, I don't know how to witness. God, please help me at work. Very often, for many of us, we can go a long time without even asking God for help. It's hard for us to do that. Why? Well, one reason it's hard is because we're proud. We don't feel helpless enough. We actually sort of think we can do it on our own. You know, sometimes there have been times where I've hardly prayed before I've come to preach. Isn't that sad? Why would I not pray desperately before I come to preach? Well, obviously the reason for that would be I don't feel helpless enough. Maybe I trust in my notes or I trust in my study. But when I feel helpless, I ask for help. Sometimes we don't ask God for help simply because we don't think of praying as doing something. We're doers. We like to solve our problems. If we don't have rent, if we don't have a job, if we are struggling to share the gospel with someone, we try to come up with a solution on our own. We like to fix things on our own. And we don't think of praying sometimes as doing. Sometimes praying feels like I'm just sitting here talking. But actually, one of the ways you do in the Christian life the most is by depending on God and asking for help. Sometimes we don't ask God for help simply because we doubt His goodness. We've asked for help before, and we just don't feel like God really cares. But this is obviously where faith comes in. Really, prayer is faith breathing. Prayer is faith, trusting that God is for us, believing that He is involved in His life, in our life. Believing that God is generous. Coming to God, believing that He delights in taking care of His children. Sometimes we don't ask God for help because we think He's just far away. We doubt that God is concerned. But making requests, asking God for help, is really a way of saying, you know what? I believe in the God of the Bible. I believe that God is concerned about the details of my life. I believe that He's actually involved in what happens. And so I'm going to speak to Him. And I'm going to ask Him for help. Sometimes we don't ask for help because we're super spiritual. We don't ask because we think that's not something that I should talk to God about. But that's actually not super spiritual at all, because the first lesson Paul teaches us on what to pray is that one of the ways we are to pray is by asking God for all kinds of help. If we're going to learn how to pray as we ought, we need to learn what to pray. And one of the things God wants us to pray, isn't this a God of grace? Do you have friends who are not generous? And when you ask them for help, they're kind of like, maybe I've even seen this. Sometimes somebody will ask me for a ride somewhere. You have a car. Somebody asks you for a ride and you think, that's going to be 20 minutes. I mean, for that 20 minutes, I could be sitting on my couch doing nothing. And instead, I got to be sitting in the car, driving all that way, doing nothing. No, some of us, we're not very generous. God is not like that. We serve a God whose generosity knows no bounds. We serve a God who is very gracious. And He actually delights in having these people come and ask for help. Well, when does God want us to do this? The first lesson we see in this passage is what to pray. We're to pray with all prayer and supplication. But when should we pray? That's the second lesson. When should the church pray? remember in seminary class one time, I had a whole class on prayer, and that man walked through every single time in the Bible prayer was mentioned. And by the end, unfortunately, I was young and immature, but I was so bored because it was like prayer was mentioned everywhere. Pray on your knees, pray on your back, pray standing up, pray at church, pray when you're not at church, pray on the road, pray when you're in your bed. The Bible's constantly talking about praying everywhere, and Paul too. This is Paul's constant statement. What does he say here in verse 18? When should we pray? Praying when? At all times. Now, this isn't just something Paul says here. He actually talks about praying at all times 8 different times besides this. And it's not just a cliche for Paul. You know, some people, they have their little cliches they say about prayer. And they didn't really think about it. They just say it. But Paul wasn't like that when he talked about praying at all times, because he says this 8 other times, and each time he says it a little bit differently. Most of the time, he's talking about his own prayer life. Paul constantly is saying, I am praying for you all the time. Listen to Romans 1:9. God is my witness. Without ceasing, I mention you in my prayers. 1 Corinthians 1:4. I'm always giving thanks to God for you. Ephesians 1:16. I don't stop giving thanks for you. Colossians 1:9. From the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you. 2 Timothy 1:3. I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Sometimes when you read about Paul praying, you kind of wonder, how did he have time to do anything else? He tells everybody he's always praying for them. And the thing is, that was not just a personal practice. That was something Paul wanted to be true, not just of him. He wanted it to be true of us as a church. Romans 12:12, he says, be constant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without stopping. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. And here, be praying at all times. Now the fact that Paul talks about prayer like this, he says, pray at all times, it tells us something very important about prayer as a church. And you know what it tells us? It tells us that prayer is not just a category that it's not just an event, it's not just an activity that we do sometimes. Okay, we prayed, let's move on to the next thing. No, prayer is to be a constant characteristic of this church. If someone asks you, when does your church pray? And they mean by that, when is your church's monthly all-night prayer meeting? We should be thinking, wow, that's great to have a monthly all-night prayer meeting, but we actually as a church, we want something bigger than just once a month where we pray all night. We actually want to be a church that doesn't only pray once a month, but prays all month. We're to be a church that prays without ceasing. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have times where we focus specifically on prayer. Of course we should. And maybe we'll do that more. Hopefully. But really, what I want you to see is this command is something bigger than that. Prayer is to become a lifestyle for us. We need to become a people who are expressing dependence on God in every single situation we find ourselves. One reason we need to express dependence on God in every situation we find ourselves is because we are dependent on God in every situation we find ourselves. If someone asks you, when should I pray? We can really be like, when shouldn't you pray? And I can put this in a funny way. You want a break from prayer. Maybe you think prayer is hard work. Okay, here it is. The only time you don't have to ask God for help, the only time you don't have to ask God for help are the times when you can do something on your own. If you can do it on your own, then don't ask God for help. But what is there in your life you can do on your own? I'll tell you, sin and mess things up. So you know what you're basically saying if you're not praying? You're basically saying to God, I got it. I don't need help on this one. I can evangelize this person on my own. I can build this church on my own. I can provide for my family on my own. I can find a job on my own. And if that's really your attitude, if that's what's going on in your heart, I'm not surprised you're super tired. Because you know what? You're depending on yourself for something you can't accomplish. You don't got this. If you're not depending on God in what you do, you're trying to carry a load that's way too heavy for you to carry, And God wants you to recognize that, and God wants you to ask Him to help you. Sometimes people, they hear this pray all the time, and they say, oh man, that's nice for Pastor to say, that's nice for Paul to say, but I don't have the strength to pray all the time. I'm not that self-disciplined. I'm just not a self-disciplined person. I can't discipline myself to pray all the time. But you know what? I don't think that's the problem at all. Self-discipline is not the problem. You know what is the problem? Self-righteousness, self-reliance. Because you know what it takes to be praying all the time? It's not that complicated. It takes poverty of spirit. It takes humility. It takes desperation. It takes knowing you cannot do something you need to do and believing God to do it. When you put humility and faith together, you know what you have? Constant prayer. So if you don't have constant prayer, there's one of two problems. Either you're not humble, or you don't believe God. The problem is not really self-discipline. I was thinking this story of this week of the story of blind Bartimaeus. You know the story in the Gospels where this man was blind. Jesus is coming through his town, and he's yelling out, "Jesus, heal me, heal me, heal me!" And there are actually people around him. And they were saying, "Please, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Don't bother Jesus with your request." But Bartimaeus wouldn't be quiet. He kept yelling out, "Jesus, heal me, heal me, heal me." Now, when you hear that story, do you say to yourself, "Blind Bartimaeus, what discipline? What self-discipline?" No, you don't say that at all. Why did Bartimaeus continually cry out to Jesus Christ even when other people were asking him to stop? It wasn't self-discipline. It was the fact that he knew he was blind and Jesus could heal him. And nothing was going to shut him up. It was a sense of need. It was knowing that Jesus could meet that need. And I wonder if you pray all the time. If you don't, the problem's not self-discipline. The problem is self-reliance. And I really want to be a little pastoral here for a moment. Can I shepherd you? Because sometimes people hear this and they say, "Pray all the time. Pastor, this is heavy. I mean, man, what a duty. I got to be praying all the time. I don't have the strength. That's just a burden. Thank you for adding that burden to my back. I come to church, pray all the time." Phew. But really, if you're thinking like that, you better look at your attitude towards prayer one more time. Because really, being asked to pray all the time only feels heavy if you think of praying as only talking to the ceiling. If you're coming here to church and I'm saying, "You know what, you need to talk to the ceiling all the time," I can see how that might seem heavy. If prayer were just a ritual, like, okay, you need to get out your little mat and you need to say, get on your knees and you need to say like certain words and you need to say these certain words all the time, I can see how you would say that. Oh, that's a little heavy. But look, when we talk about prayer, we're not just talking about a duty. It's actually, we're talking about a relationship with someone you love. We're talking about talking with God. And you know, when it comes to relationships, if someone comes to me and says, "How often should I talk to my wife?" And I say, "Well, I think you should really try to talk to your wife as often as you can." And they say, "Oh, what a duty. I really got to talk to her that much? That's heavy." I would be like, man, if that's your attitude, maybe there's a problem in your relationship with your wife. You should want to talk with your wife as much as you can. And the same is true with God. Guys, when Paul says pray without ceasing, we're talking about God here. This is God we get to talk to. That's not a huge burden. That is an amazing privilege. And if you want to work on enjoying this privilege, and you need to, if you want to become the kind of person who is constantly slipping into prayer, one place you need to start is by reminding yourself that God is with you wherever you go. That He's in control of what's happening. And that He is for you and for your good. If you want to become a person who prays constantly, you need to become a person who in faith believes what the Bible says about God. That He is good, that He's present, and that He cares about what you're talking to Him about. I think that's a better place to work on praying without ceasing and just trying to like mark it down in your calendar. I'm going to pray at 1, I'm going to pray at 3, I'm going to pray at 5. No. The way you pray is connected to what you believe about God. Prayer is a reflection of what you believe about God. And so if you're not constantly looking to pray, then one thing you have to ask is, what do I really believe about God? And better, what do I really believe about who God is? I mean, imagine you're having problems with your prayer life. You look, you're hearing this, you say, you know what, I don't pray without ceasing, so I need to go talk to a prayer psychologist. There's not really such a thing. There's not really a prayer psychologist, and hopefully not. But Google it, maybe there is. But prayer, you say, I'm going to go talk to a prayer therapist. And so you go to that prayer therapist and he says, okay, you're having problems in your prayer life. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you believe about God? And you say, well, I believe God is my Father. And I believe that God, I have access to my Father. I have a relationship with Him. I believe that God delights and He cares about my prayers the way He delights and cares about the requests of His Son Jesus because I'm united to Him. And the therapist looks at you and he says, wow, that's awesome. You've just described the doctrine of sonship. Now, tell me, how do you enjoy being with your Father? And you say, ah, I don't like that. It's hard to be with my Father. My mind wanders. I don't know what to say. I'm constantly wondering, is He there? And I feel guilty for thinking about that. What do you think that imaginary prayer therapist would say to you? He would probably say, you need help. Because you're good at saying the right things about God as Father, but those things you say you believe, they don't impact the way you live. If we believe that God is our Father, that He loves us, that God's in control of what's happening to us, if we see that He's not just a subject we study at church, He's a person who is actively involved in our lives, then we're going to be constantly talking to Him. Amen. It's going to be natural for us to go throughout our day just constantly talking to our Father. This again is one of those areas where you need to learn from children, because children are asking stuff of their parents all the time. And why do children ask so much of their parents? It's because they trust their parents. Children are so sure of their parents' love and their parents' power. It takes a lot to kill that in a child. And the more sure they are that their parents are for them, the more they ask. And so part of learning how to pray all the time is in faith, learning to trust God the way children trust their parents. Only with God, the trust is founded on reality, His Word. And so I know what I'm trying to do this week, and I've really been working on this, is just take moments throughout the day to remind myself of certain truths about God. And so throughout the day, I'll practice looking at life as if God were not just a subject in the book. A book. I mean, I don't know if you've heard of George Washington, but I never asked George Washington for help. You know what? No, you know why I don't ask George Washington for help? Because he's dead. He's a subject in a book that we study. But God is not dead. God is present in my life. And part of the way I say to this world, God is present, God is active, is by talking to Him and talking to Him even about the small stuff. Sometimes I think we don't pray more because we just don't, we think we can only go to God with the heavy stuff. You know, we think, I don't have anything to say to God because I can't think of like the hypostatic union right now. I can't think of these deep truths to talk to God about. And we should be careful what we say. We're praying to God. But at the same time, God is our Father and He's concerned with the small stuff. This is where faith comes in, because you know what? It seems crazy to me to think that God's concerned about the small stuff in my life. Most of the small stuff in my life, I am bored with. I bore myself. But I don't believe that God is concerned with the small stuff in my life because I wish He was. You know why I believe that God is concerned with the small stuff in my life? Because He says He is. God says He knows how many hairs are on my head. God says He knows when the sparrow dies. And it doesn't honor God for you to go around saying, oh God, you wouldn't be interested in this. It's too small for you. No, God has proven that He's interested in this. And so you honor God by believing Him and talking to Him about the small stuff and the big stuff as well. It's kind of like, again, a father with his children. What would you think of a human father? His daughter is hungry, and his daughter comes to him and says to him, "Daddy, could I have a piece of bread?" And the father says, "Oh, don't bother me with that small stuff." The daughter says, "Daddy, I'd really like something to eat. Please, only come to me when it's something important." Now you would say, that is an ungracious father. And listen, God is not an ungracious father. He is the most generous and compassionate father there is. And so He wants us to come to Him with these kinds of requests. And He's better than human fathers because He actually wants us to come to Him with these requests constantly. When my kids are constantly poking me on the side and saying, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 please, 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 please," I get a little tired of that after like the third time. But God tells us, no, I want you to persevere in asking. I want you to work hard at continually asking. You know, it's funny actually, Jesus, when He talks about, when He gives illustrations of what good prayer looks like, read this through the Gospel sometime. Jesus, when He says, "I want you to see what it looks like to pray in a way that honors God," a lot of times the illustrations Jesus brings up are of really annoying people. I think of the one example is that widow who kept going to the judge. I mean, it's late at night, and Jesus says, "I want you to learn how to pray. Learn from this lady." He's going to the judge. And what does she do? That would drive us crazy. The judge says, "No." And Jesus says, "Actually, that's how God wants you to come to Him. God wants you to be the person at His throne room who's just got your hand on the door. God, 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 please, 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 please." Now honestly, if we move to this kind of prayer life, if you become the kind of person, if we become the kind of church that's constantly praying, I want to warn you of something. You're going to start seeming pretty strange to your neighbors. I'm telling you, to be constantly looking to God in prayer like this, they're going to think, why does this guy go to God about everything? Why is he always talking to God? But you know what? Listen to me now. I would rather appear strange to my neighbors than I would to the angels who are watching me as well. I mean, imagine how strange it must be to angels as they watch this world. When they see people who say they're Christians who aren't praying about everything, the angels must look at us trying to do things with our Father right there ready to help us, and we're not even looking to Him for help, the help we need, and they must think, this is strange. It would be kind of like watching a little child struggling, 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 crying, 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 and his father standing right there beside him, and the child never asked for help. That would be strange. And it must seem strange to the angels to see Christians who do not pray without ceasing. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather appear strange to my non-Christian neighbors than I would to appear strange before the angels who stand in the presence of God. If you really struggle with praying, maybe I can just give you a simple suggestion. Begin using occasions that tempt you to sin as opportunities to start going to God in prayer. It may sound funny, but if you want to become more prayerful, just begin by going through a day and looking for every time you're tempted to become anxious. Some of you say, "I can't pray without ceasing," but you're anxious without ceasing. And you know what anxiety, worry really is? You know what worry really is? It's praying to yourself. That's what worry is. It's anti-prayer. And it's frustrating. You know why God hates worry? It's because you're praying to yourself instead of to Him. And you know why you become so tired when you worry? It's because you're not God. You're praying to yourself and you can't even fix the problem the way you wish. So when a temptation like that comes up, you can view worry as an opportunity. Instead of praying to yourself over and over and over again, start grabbing hold of your mind and use those worried thoughts and transform them into prayers. Instead of praying to yourself when you begin to get worried, say, "No, I'm going to talk to God about this. And I'm going to believe that God is concerned about this." If you have a hard time even stopping worrying and praying to God, then pray about that. Every time you struggle with worry and you don't feel like you can overcome, start praying, God, I'm struggling with worry. I don't feel like I can overcome. But the point is, learn to use all the small and big opportunities to become anxious as opportunities for prayer. And you know what you're going to find? You're a whole lot more prayerful. You're going to be praying when Paul says to be praying. You're going to be praying all the time. Now finally, guys, how to pray. The first lesson was what to pray. And we saw part of how we are to pray is making requests, asking God for help. Then the second lesson was when to pray. And that wasn't complicated either. All the time. And we can work on that by exercising faith and using temptations as something that motivate us to go to our knees. And now finally, how to pray. And really, there's a lot here. There's probably, if we look down at the passage, the most information here on how to pray. But we won't take too much time. We find four characteristics of how to pray in this passage. First of all, we need to pray dependently. Look at what Paul says at the beginning of verse 18. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. So how are you to pray? You're to pray in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? That's actually a little bit complicated to figure out. Pray in the Spirit. Let me tell you first what it does not mean, so we're not confused. Praying in the Spirit does not mean praying in tongues. Paul is not saying go around blah, 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 all the time. That's not what Paul is saying. And we know that because he tells us to pray at all times, making supplications, making requests, which are specific. Thinking about what you're asking God. Praying in the Spirit, one thing it means is not praying in the flesh. And if you want to look at Galatians 5, mark this down, you can study it on your own. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Paul contrasts life in the flesh versus life in the Spirit. You say, what does it mean to pray in the flesh? I'll tell you what it means to pray in the flesh. Praying in the flesh are prayers that are motivated by sinful, selfish desires rather than the Spirit of God. So one way you work to pray in the Spirit is by working to say no to your sinful, selfish desires. You're not coming to God to manipulate Him to do your will, but you're coming to God asking Him to help Him want to do His will. Another important aspect of praying in the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit by not praying in the flesh, but the second way you pray in the Spirit is by praying depending not on your own strength, but depending on the Spirit of God to help you pray as you should. One of the big things, and this is just again the grace of God, guys. I wish that we as a church, we could really just... prayer is fun to look at because it really shows us God's kindness. Do you realize, God is so important. He doesn't need to waste time listening to us, but He wants to. That's grace. But God not only wants to listen to us, He comes to us and He says, I want to hear from you. I want you to speak to me. That's grace, guys. Guys, most of you are here today and some of you are very bored with me. God isn't. God isn't. Do you understand that? God is much more important than any of you are. And He's not bored when I come to Him with requests. That's an awesome privilege. But God does not only delight in having us come to Him. You know what else He does? He gives us the Spirit to help us pray. The King does not only say, come, talk to me. The King says, let me help you talk to me. And I'll give you, first of all, my Son to die in your place so that you might be forgiven. And so that He might intercede on your behalf. But I won't only give you my Son, I'll give you the Holy Spirit who will help you learn how to pray. Amen. And this is something, again, you could look at Paul talking about in Romans 8:15. Paul says, the Spirit works in our hearts, teaching us to cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit enables us to speak to God the Father like Jesus does. And the Spirit even helps us when we don't know how to pray, interceding on our behalf. And the point of this whole thing is when it comes to how to pray, we should pray thanking God for the Spirit and looking to the Spirit to help us. We might even come to God saying something like this, God, please, as I pray here, I want you to help me want what you want for my life. I can't do that on my own. And so I just thank you, God, that I'm not on my own. I'm depending on your Spirit now. I'm asking that your Spirit would help me to pray. And if you're really serious about the Spirit helping you to pray, I'll tell you one of the simple things you can do. Go back to the Word of God and pray Scripture. As you begin to pray the Word of God, the Spirit takes the Word of God, and He not only illumines your heart, but He helps you pray to God the kind of prayers that please God and are good for you and for the people around you. We need to pray. How do we pray? We pray dependently. Second, we pray strainingly. Strainingly is a funny word, but it means prayer is to be work for us. It takes effort. This is something we should labor in. Look at the end of verse 18. Paul says, to that end. That means for this purpose. So, for the purpose of praying, keep alert with all perseverance. In other words, he says, stay awake. Stay alert in your prayers. Now, if I had a little stick, maybe I would try to wake up some of you who are sleeping now. But you need to do that to yourself when you're praying. Do you realize that that kind of tired spirit is actually when you're falling asleep or you're struggling to persevere in prayer? That's not just something you should be saying. We should be saying to ourselves, well, that's just the way I am. No, we need to say to ourselves, no, Joshua, keep alert. Let's persevere. Let's work hard at prayer. Don't give up on staying awake and alert in your prayers. Paul knows that we're weak and that prayer for most of us feels like hard work. And when something feels like hard work, what we can do so easily is just give up on it. And we'll just say to ourselves, I'm just not good at this. But that's not an excuse for us. Yes, it's going to take some effort for you to pray without ceasing. But make the effort, stay alert, and keep staying alert so that you can pray. But you know how you can stay alert when you pray? Well, there's a couple things you can do. One thing you can do is preach to yourself as you pray. And even you should do this as you come to church and listen to God's Word as well. But preach to yourself as you pray. And say to yourself, I'm talking to God now. God's Son died to buy me this privilege. The Holy Spirit is given to me to help me in this. No, Joshua, you might say to yourself if your name was Joshua. Self, do not look at this as if it were something light. You're going into the throne room of God. And sometimes I'll just imagine that because it's what's happening. You're going into the throne room of God. And I'll tell you, if I'm in the throne room of God, I do not want to see it. I don't want God to see me like this. No, if I'm in the throne room of God, I want to talk to Him with reverence and with respect. And so I need to preach to myself because that is reality. Another thing you can do to stay awake is repent as you pray. Because so often the reason we're not alert is because we're filled up with sin. And sin makes our hearts drowsy. And so we don't just leave sin there. As you come to God in prayer, say, God, please forgive me, cleanse me, and get specifics. And maybe this is just more practical, but if you're going to pray without ceasing and stay alert in your prayers, one thing that can really help is if you pray speaking. Again, this is not a command, but I'm trying to give you ways to stay alert. And I found it so helpful to pray out loud. It's not the final solution, but I find, for me, it's a little harder for my mind to wander if I'm talking out loud. If I'm just there like this with my eyes closed and I'm saying, thinking in my mind, my thoughts can kind of be like, God, I love you. What's for lunch? Oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? But if I'm talking to God in prayer, it sounds funny to say that. God, Heavenly Father, I love you. I'm wondering what is for lunch right now. No. If I'm talking out loud, I can see how silly that is. And so sometimes it helps to keep your mind on track by actually speaking your prayers. Now, sometimes you got to get creative with this because people will think you're really weird. So I'll actually go on walks and I'll take my cell phone with me. And I'll put my cell phone up if a car drives by. And I'm actually just praying right now. So if you think I'm important and talking to my cell phone, I'm really actually probably just talking to God. But whatever you do, do something to work at keeping alert. Because spiritually, the stakes are high. Prayer matters. Otherwise, God wouldn't be commanding us to do it and to do it all the time. Pray dependently. Pray strainingly. Third thing, pray comprehensively. If you ever wonder who you should pray for, Paul gives us a big task in verse 19. What does he, at the end of verse 18, actually? He says, we should make supplication. We should make requests for who? All the saints. How many is all? It's everyone. This is like my dad before dinner sometimes. My dad was a long prayer. And so sometimes before dinner, the meal would be right there, and I could be smelling it, and I was young, and he would be praying for all the people in Africa. And I thought, wow, Dad, I'm so hungry right now. But maybe we don't have to do that before we eat, but we certainly should be people who care enough about others to be praying about them, even if we don't know them. What can you be praying for other believers about? You can be praying about things like their job and finances, but you know what you should be praying for people about here at this church you can start? Start praying for people the kinds of things Paul prays for them about. You might go to Ephesians chapter 1, and I've done this for you. If you want a ministry here at the church, I'm telling you, praying for the other people at this church may be the most important ministry there is in this church. But what could you pray for them? Well, you could go to Ephesians chapter 1. You could say, what's Paul praying for? Verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Okay, what do you pray for, Paul? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. So what I'll do is I'll say, God, please help Stephen. Since I'm looking at Stephen back there, please help Stephen. And God, would you please, even this week, help him to have a spirit, your spirit would help him to have wisdom, to know how to apply the Bible to his life. And God, would you even reveal to him what? The knowledge of you. May this be a week that Stephen comes in some way to understand more deeply your character. What else? Having the eyes of his heart enlightened to know the hope of what you've called him. Lord, please help Stephen know how good his hope is, how good he has it in Christ. And you can actually go through Paul. That's one of the reasons why he tells us all his prayers. He teaches us how to pray. He tells us so many of his prayers. Teaches us how to pray. And so you say, I want a ministry at this church. Here's the ministry. Pray for all the saints here. But don't just pray for all the saints here. Pray for all the saints that you know. Pray for believers. What do you pray? Go back to the Word of God and use Paul's prayers and Jesus' prayers as your model. And when you pray these kinds of prayers, don't just pray for people you like. But also be praying for believers you're struggling with. Somebody that you're upset with. That's probably one of the best persons to pray for. This is one of the ways that God works love in your heart. By taking these believers that you're having conflict with to God in prayer and asking that they might grow in their knowledge of God, His love, and His Word. Finally, pray missionally. Now, missionally means pray like a missionary. I love the fact, if you look at verse 19, Paul doesn't only ask the Ephesians to pray for others. He also asks them to pray for him. Because he recognizes his own need. Even though he's written so much of the Bible, he still knows he needs believers to pray for him. He's in prison, and what does he know he needs? We can learn from this. What does he ask the Ephesians to pray for him about in verse 19? Look at it. Pray also for me. If you're in prison, what are you asking people to pray for you about? Paul says, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul's primary concern is that he might be able to proclaim the gospel with boldness in the middle of any difficult situation. And I would encourage you as a church, would you make that your primary prayer request? Last week we talked about making an impact for Christ on this community, and we said if we're going to make an impact for Christ on this community, we need to use the sword of the Spirit. We need to take the gospel out. And if we're going to share the gospel the way we should, man, we should be praying like the Apostle Paul. We should be constantly asking God for help and asking others to pray that God would give us the boldness to proclaim the gospel the way we ought. If Paul needed boldness to proclaim the gospel, how much more should we be on our knees asking God to give us the passion and the courage to speak about what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ? We want to see spiritually dead people come to life. Man, do you long for that? That's impossible for us to do. So we need to be praying. And we need to constantly be praying, God, do in Salvacop, do in Sunnyside, do in Fairy Glen, do in this person's life, do in that person's life what I cannot do. There are lots of areas I want us to grow as a church, but this is maybe the first concern I have for us right now. That we would become individuals and a church who know our helplessness and are convinced of God's goodness, so we pray. We pray a lot. We ask God for help all the time. We pray without ceasing. We see God is involved in our everyday life. And so we talk to Him. It's normal for us to be praying, not in our own strength, but depending on the Spirit. And that we make an effort at this. We don't just say, oh, because I just don't get excited about prayer, I don't need to do it. No, we say, I'm going to keep alert in this. I'm going to persevere in this. And we pray not just for ourselves, we pray for other people and all believers, and not just for people we like, but for even people that we're having troubles with. Praying the kinds of prayers God wants us to pray, longing to see their spiritual growth, and praying for each other especially, that God would make us a church who's relentless and courageous about proclaiming the gospel. That we would become the kind of people that would get thrown in prison and be thinking one thing when we ask others for prayer. That we would become the kind of people who could get thrown in prison and you ask us, what do we want prayer for? And we'll say, you know what, really, there's only one thing I want prayer for. Is that I'd be more bold to tell more people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, teach us to pray. Lord, if we do everything as a church, if we somehow build a big church, we had lots of people, and we're not dependent on you in prayer, then God, we're nothing. We're not even a church if we don't pray. Lord, help us to not just pray as like legalism, I got to do this, I got to do this, but pray because we have a relationship, because we love you, and we like talking to you. Oh God, give us the faith to believe that you hear us, and that you care about us, and that you give us what's best for us. Oh Lord, help us not to be self-reliant. Oh God, kill all pride in us. God, make us, do not allow us to become the kind of church, the kind of people who think we can do this on our own. God, we say to you, we don't got it. We don't have the ability. We can't do it. God, but you can. And you delight to work in helpless people. And so God, will you work in us? This next year as a church, may we move forward in prayer. May we become the kind of congregation that is known for its constant prayer. Not just in a showy way, but in a real way. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.